There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And yeah, Chris Curry, president of the Mobile Airport Authority, hopefully will be back on the show with us maybe later this week for a little closer conversation about what's happening with Frontier and the second airport and all that. We'll get into that later on this week. Text line is open for you at 343-0106. And I mentioned last hour that coming up, this is a conversation. You know, I've been talking about the possibilities of automation replacing jobs right here at home in the future. But it wasn't until I saw this report of a study out there that shows Alabama, we could be have the fourth largest potential job loss in the United States from automation. Now, Tricia Hart, spokesperson, is joining us now talking about automated jobs in an automated nation. Thanks for your time.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so this is a study that looked at the entire nation. Where did the data come from? How was this study conducted?
So the data came from two primary places. We started with a University of Oxford study on automation, which actually analyzed more than 700 different occupations. It created an algorithm considering factors like negotiation, social perceptiveness. Basically, it analyzed the jobs for how probable or how likely they were to be automated down the line. So once we had that list, we looked at some of the most at-risk or most likely jobs to eventually automate, and we compared them against Bureau of Labor Statistics stats in communities and states across the U.S. to come up with our study.
Okay, so you use that, so you figure out, here are the, I guess we should start off with that. What categories of jobs, what segments of jobs should be most worried about automation?
We found that, they kind of run the gamut. When you look at the list of the most probable jobs, some of them kind of fall in like the industrial engineering, manufacturing sectors, but a lot of them were consumer-facing, like retail and wait staff type of jobs. So when we looked at these probable occupations that were likely to automate, we then looked at how big the labor force is in each of those specific occupations. And it's not surprising that a lot of the more consumer-facing jobs, like fast food workers, waiters and waitresses, cashiers, had significant labor forces across the U.S.
Okay, so is there a way to describe, I've seen it described as if it's symmetrical or routine or something like that. Is that fair to say that those are the areas that are most in danger?
Mm-hmm. It's jobs that you're starting to see some amount of technology creep in or replacing, like self-service kiosks, replacing having to put an order in at a counter, online shopping, replacing the need for some brick-and-mortar store jobs. So these are positions that have a substantial workforces, but that involve tasks that can potentially be automated with relative ease.
Okay, so let's bring it back to Alabama. How big a risk do we have?
So Alabama, as you mentioned, has the fourth largest at-risk workforce with over 609,000 jobs deemed susceptible or vulnerable to automation in the future.
Whoa. And you say the future,
yeah.
How is that from now to 60 years from now? Is that next year? How long?
So we didn't look at the timeline for this, since the jobs, it's kind of each industry, they run the gamut. Each industry tends to automate at different rates. So we don't have a timeline or necessarily saying that 609,000 jobs are going to be lost to automation. But these are the types of positions that if the trend towards embracing technology across industries increases, these are jobs that could more easily be replaced.
Okay. One of the things people will say, I don't even have to look at the text line or I'll pick up the phones here because I've had the conversation enough. Somebody will say, listen, y'all are talking about, this is the same thing people are talking about, that people that manufactured buggy whips would be out of jobs. And look, the car business put more people back to work. It actually grew the economy. So these people will have other jobs. Do the numbers show that there is a other job for those people, or will those jobs just be gone?
So for some of these industries, if you look at retail salesperson is a good example. Across the board, that tends to pop up in communities across the U.S. as having a large at-risk workforce in each state. A retail salesperson could transfer to another position if the need for retail salespeople is totally replaced by online shopping, if there are fewer brick-and-mortar stores for them to work at. But a lot of the technology, like the technological jobs that are popping up to replace these, like the people that engineer the equipment or maintain the websites, tend to be more specialized than, or require more specialized skill than some of these jobs that are at risk.
You know, I guess we all picture, when we hear automation, probably picture different things. Now, you're talking about cashiers, and cashiers most at risk here in Alabama. We picture the self-checkout kiosk, but other people might picture actual robots, you know, humanoid-looking robots doing the work. I mean, is there anything in the horizon that y'all can see that says it will be more of one or more of the other?
We didn't look at what exactly is going to be replacing these, but when you look at some of the consumer-facing jobs, cashiers, waiters and waitresses, like you mentioned, the self-checkout, and when we looked at some of the other positions too, if you get down to slightly smaller populations or slightly smaller workforces that are at risk, you have jobs like bookkeepers. You know, someone that was doing the accounting for a company can be replaced by a software that automatically does that or doesn't require a full-time person. So you are seeing a lot of computerized technologies be the future for some of these potentially automated jobs.
Okay, so it's not, I mean, a lot of people will fantasize in their mind, here's this supercomputer or here's this, mm-hmm. you know, a humanoid robot. But in fact, maybe the computers we're running in our businesses right now and the software that goes with them, that could be the thing replacing us.
Right, and I think a lot of people don't, when they hear automation, like you mentioned, they think of robots, they think of factories. I think one of the more readily available images is kind of the robots working at like automotive manufacturers. That's mm-hmm. what people think of when they hear automation, and they're not thinking of the tax software that people are using instead of going to an accountant. They're not thinking of the QuickBooks that companies use mm-hmm. to maintain their finances instead of hiring an accountant or having an on-staff bookkeeper. So a lot of these changes in automations and inclusions of technology have made business operations a little bit leaner and cheaper, but it does remove the need to have extra positions.
Well, okay, and there's always this danger, and I've talked about this before, that you replace enough positions with automation, then there aren't people out there that are employed to buy the product or service from the place that's streamlined by using automation.
Right, and that's the fear, that's the argument with automation. On the one hand, you may see a drop in some of these positions, but on the other hand, there's more jobs needed or more people needed to maintain the operating systems, more people needed to, you know, and do the engineering. So you do see a demand for more technological background careers on the flip side of this trend as well.
Okay, yeah, so if you were trying to, okay, and if you're just joining us, talking to Tricia Hart, we're talking about automation and this study that shows Alabama fourth most at risk for losing jobs from automation. So, Tricia, you're talking to somebody getting ready to go into college now, or somebody, and from what you've seen here, does it give you a formula, like, here's what y'all need to do, here's the path you need to study?
You know, if you look at what schools are pushing already, a lot of them are pushing STEM education starting at a young age, and there's a reason for that. Automation and the embracing of technology has necessitated a workforce that has educational backgrounds in science and mathematics, people to become the engineers to create these programs or the computer coders to run these operating systems. So if you're looking at young kids, I think there's a big reason why STEM education is in the news so often, because as more and more companies are looking to automate, more and more industries are looking to enhance or broaden their use of technology, it does create a demand for these specialized jobs. And unfortunately, what we found, a lot of the positions that are considered at risk or vulnerable, they're not jobs that necessarily require a specialized background or a specialized education to do them. So if you're looking at kids who are going into high school or in college, thinking about what career paths they're doing, there's certainly, as we enter 2020, our reliance on technology is only increasing. So that's kind of where this all comes back to. Automation is just the embracing of technology into new industries. So if you're talking to the youth trying to pick out their jobs or career paths, it's not a bad thing to look into.
You know, in the study here, and you did the breakdown by states, and also you had automation in metro cities. So I want to ask how it affects cities, and does it affect them? Does it? Is there any statistic there that shows it affects people that are in an urban setting more than a rural setting, or what's the takeaway?
So we found that the automation percentages, like the number of the percentage of the workforce in each metro area that's vulnerable to automation, is about comparable to the statewide levels. The state most at risk to automation related job loss is South Dakota, with 33.5% of their workforce. And then you look at the same city, the metro area with the largest at-risk workforce is about 33% as well. So we're not seeing substantial drop-offs between urban centers or rural areas when you look at an entire state in terms of differences in the amount of the workforce that could be affected.
All right. So so there's no place to go hide. It's not saying, oh, I need to move to the country to hide from this, or I need to move to the city.
And, you know, that's what we found. I mean, and it's different types of positions, too. In cities, they tend to be more tourism hubs, so jobs like cashiers, waiters and waitstaffs, food prep, those are all jobs that are robust workforce populations in cities because there's a large service industry. But in some of these smaller communities or more rural communities, certain aspects of farming and manufacturing are being automated as well. So it's just different occupations on that spectrum, but a similar size workforce, regardless of where you are.
All right. So this is a cautionary tale. You're not saying this happens tomorrow or happens next week, but it's a trend that the numbers showed here. So you want people to be aware of this.
Right. These are not doomsday numbers by any means. It's just showing the trends in industries that are erring or trending towards technology replacing individual workers. So there's no harsh timeline or no definitiveness that this is going to happen, but we wanted to just shed some light on industries and specific positions that are more vulnerable than others to automation.
Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. Thanks for the report here. If people want to Google this, they go online and find more about it, or how do they find the numbers here?
Yeah, so they can head to KemplerIndustries.com, or you can just Google Kempler Industries Automation Study, and they'll be able to see the full results as well.
All right, Tricia, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us here on Midday Mobile.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Tricia Hart checking in. Take your calls when we get back at 343-0106. We've talked about this before, but now specifically if you're a cashier, that's the most vulnerable occupation going forward in Alabama. And that 31.4% of the total positions in the state considered most at risk to automation puts us fourth nationally on this. Eye-opener? Would you tell your children, hey, you know, think about this, that, and the other before moving forward with your life? We'll talk about that when we come back. 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line. They're the same. They're not automated because you're going to talk to the real human being, Dalton Orwig, when you call 343-0106. And I'm generally, I think I'm not more than 10% cyborg, right? You'll talk to me after that. So a lot of humans here. But listen, I'm sitting in a studio of a radio business that is absolutely the product of automation. When I first got in this business, way back in 1990-91, and in Tuscaloosa, as a student there at the University of Alabama, and ended up somehow conning my way into commercial radio up there. And I did. There were more. It took more people to put on the morning show that I was part of for years up there than will run a whole radio station now. And I'm talking about in all capacities. I have watched in, 28 whatever years I've been in the business, I've watched the numbers of people that it takes to make radio get replaced by automation to the tune of maybe 70% attrition. Some stations, different things. We're way more people than other stations because of what we do, talk radio, not just playing, you know, some songs here and repeating things. So it takes a lot more to run this kind of radio station. But there are some in the music business, 80% attrition for what it used to be, running the station. So I mean, hey, we've seen it absolutely in this business. We are the dinosaurs, the human beings that are still left in it. But it looks like for Alabama, it looks like cashier is the most vulnerable. But you look through that report, and I put the link up. You can Google it, like Tricia said, or you can look at the link I put up on the Twitter feed and go to it, a little breakdown, because they look at the different states and what kind of percentage you could lose, and then they kind of delve into, okay, this state it's cashiers, this state it's you know, it's this kind of manufacturing. So they try to break down, you know, here's the industry most at risk, and here's that state that has the most of those kind of jobs in it, is what they're looking at here. I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion. Where do we go next in this? It's something that is coming. How fast that train's coming, I'm not sure. This is what makes it fun to speculate out there. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106, and Matt in Mobile is first up. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I hadn't been replaced by a robot yet, so I'm good.
Well, I'm out here with one of my fireman buddies pruning some limbs at one of my customers' place, and I'll tell you one thing I do like about automation. I like an automatic dump trailer.
That's true. That's true.
Pull up to the landfill, push a button, and take off.
Now, do you think they could get, like, we have the robotic, and a buddy of mine was chastising me about robotic lawnmowers, but, I mean, could you have robotic hedge trimmers eventually, right? That could come.
You know, there's a lot of trending things on about commercial applications involving landscaping and pruning and stuff like that. You know, I think your last segment was awesome. It was great listening to her and listening to the study that she was giving you the results on. I tell you what, I wish down the road we could have a serious tabletop discussion about this, and I'd love to be on that panel. I think I could talk about this for several hours, but just in a short summary, everything is good in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that needs to be applied versus the counterpoint of greed on behalf of the labor worker, the owner, the business owner, you know, where they're trying to blend a profit margin with efficiencies at the same time, putting people on the unemployment line.
Yep. Well, here, and
that's my biggest concern.
Well, and here's one of the problems, Matt, right, is even if that individual, and let me just look at it from my perspective, I'm kind of a throwback person, and I like to do things the right way and do this, but you get forced in business with what one of your competitors does. If they're doing something that's dropping their bottom line and they can still charge the same amount, they're still keeping market share, then you're forced into making changes as well. It takes one, and then there's a domino effect.
That's correct. And, you know, it is by choice, and automation has done a world of things in a positive way for us, advancing into, mm-hmm, you know, the 21st century. I'm not denying that, especially how we've assembled vehicles, how we've just done a lot of things. I mean, whoever thought you'd have a battery-operated impact wrench?
You know, that's right.
In my application, that's freaking awesome, because you're not near an air compressor or electrical unit when you got to do something out on the job. But at the same time, you know, we're always vulnerable to cyber attacks, mm-hmm. and or an instance where if we become solely dependent on automation, look what it's done to the airline industry when something happens and you cripple the East Coast or the West Coast. You know, I just think there needs to be balance. And speaking from a labor person that physically works just like many other people, I don't support automation just to put people out of work. I really don't. That's just my opinion, and I could talk on it more, and I know you got to go,
but we might.
There's just a lot more to it than just putting two lanes of automated express lines at Walmart versus putting eight lanes of automated express lines and two people, two physical cashiers, you know?
Yep.
That's a choice that someone makes.
That's where it's going. And Matt, I appreciate your call and what you're doing. And please stay close. This is a conversation, if you've heard, and thank you for your call. And we'll come right back to the phones. But this is something I've been talking about for years here on the show, and to hear you, because I know you, I think you'd be a great part of that. I would love to have a multi-hour discussion here, and I'd like to find some people that are in the business of this as well to talk to them so we can all learn more, because I think at some level, whether it's, you know, coming next month or coming in 50 years or at 5% of the workforce or 40% of the workforce, it is coming at some level, and we ought to get our heads around what this means. And by the way, too, thank you for some of the texts, and we'll get back to these as well. But the questions, I don't have answers. Like Donald said, my brother and a whole shop full of professional sheet metal mechanics got replaced by a nerd and a CNC machine. Wow. And eventually, you know what'll happen, Donald? They'll replace the nerd, too, with a computer. Get ready. That'll be the next wave. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
I start thinking about automation out there. And, you know, you're looking at whatever the big, of course, international story right now. What's next with Iran and the strike on Soleimani when he was there at the nearby the Baghdad airport. It's a drone tech, you know, of course, that has operators in it, but that is some degree of automation there that is been in the battlefield a long time. It's been in certain industries longer than others, but yeah, it's coming. I mean, you don't have to go any further. Matt said you don't have to go any further than walking in you know, the Walmart store or anywhere and looking at the number of self-checkout. You know, that if you're a cashier, that's what that study shows. If you're a cashier, you are at least in the shorter term, one of the occupations that's most in danger of being replaced by automation. Now, will there be the next thing to go to? Because you can go back and say, hey, you know what? That's what they're saying. The, you know, buggy whip manufacturers, all those people would be out of business. Then they went to work in the automotive industry. Will there be, and there will always be other industries where people have to work on the automation. But if you take a shop, like Donald said earlier, that had like six people in it, now you replace it with one, as he termed it, nerd, and a CNC machine. Well, I mean, there's a lot. There's somebody kept a job, but, you know, six lost that. And also, people are arguing about or question here who pays the taxes if the machines do all the work. That has been, we've talked about this on the show in the past. It's probably in a year or so. There's a proposal out that would tax the output and productivity of the machines based on they did the work of, you know, five people on the line or whatever it would be. They would tax the companies for this. This is the government plan here. Tax the companies for that productivity. That money goes to the federal government, and then that bases a basic income for everybody, where they would provide it. But that's listen, I could do 3 hours, like Matt was talking. I do about 3 hours on this stuff because there's so much to it. All right, going to the phones. And Edward in Satsuma is first up. Hey, Edward.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. What's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I'm in the automation industry myself.
Really?
And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that GM was the very first company to become almost fully automated with their VLCs on their assembly lines. You know, they did that so that way their changeover from year-to-year product line, it wouldn't cost them a whole bunch of money to redo the lines. Where I see automation going, they already have full-serve McDonald's where you actually go up, order your Big Mac on a kiosk, and the machine makes it in the back and spits it out in the front, and you just put your money in and you get your food.
Right.
What we're missing here is that the state of Alabama, especially South Alabama, down here around in our neighborhood, Mobile County, there are not enough assembly-type jobs. You've got Airbus. You've got the steel mills there around. But other than that, you don't have very much industry in this area. You know, they are concentrating highly on northern Alabama, but nothing for the rest of the state. And that's a big problem when Walmart is your biggest employer. You know that the Walmart employs more people in the United States now than any other company in the U.S.
Yep. And if I'm a shareholder, let's look at it this way. I mean, we could look at it. I mean, and I understand what Matt says. And I'm a person that runs a strong capitalist streak through me, but also one that generally, if given deferential preference here, I give a damn about other human beings. But if you're a shareholder for Walmart, what do you want? You want better return, right? You want growth in the stock, and you want better dividends. And if they got to automate everything to do that, my retirement looks good.
Well, and that also comes to us as a consumer to make that choice whether or not to go through an automated line as opposed to going into a cashier and being greeted by a friendly face.
But how often do we do that, Edward?
The consumer makes that choice.
You're right. You're right. But how often, how often do we choose to do that? How many people have even thought about that?
I actually do all the time because I always have that in my thought. Every time you go through an automated checkout, that's one less time that they can say, well, there's one customer that didn't go through, you know, the non-automated line. So, you know, the more you give that the reason for them to go that route, the more they're going to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true, but you can set it up where it gets to be a point where you have so few cashiers and so many automated cashiers that there's a disincentive, right, to go to the human being because the line is longer.
Right.
And we're impatient, Edward.
I know.
As creatures. Hey, can I delve into a second? So you work on automation. What is can you give me like the elevator speech? You and I are riding in an elevator saying, man, what do you do, Edward? How do you take something? Does a company come to you and say, we want to automate this process? Or do you come up with software that works for multiple things? How does that work?
Well, basically the way it works is they give you the process. You want this elevator to go from floor one to floor two.
Okay.
And then what you do is you have to figure out, okay, when it goes up to floor one, you've got to have a signal that says, I'm at floor one, you know, and it goes up, it gives a signal I'm at floor two, and then you have to have all your safety components in so that way if the elevator just isn't at the correct floor, it won't open the doors the right way. And then you prove the process. Once the process is proven, then you automate.
So that is, it is really at this point, it's custom for each application. It's not, they're not people out there saying, hey, this is a system that can learn your company and automate it. It's somebody like you, Edward, that goes and finds that process and you build the specific automation around that individual process.
Correct. And once you have established that automation process, like say you've come up with the first automated elevator, well, then the next elevator you do, it's a simple cut, copy, and paste.
Okay.
You might have to add extra sensors to get it to do what you want it to do, but once you get the general process down, it's just tailoring it to each individual.
So you are somebody who makes it, listen to this, y'all, Edward makes a living doing this and automating, but you are conscious of that and you go in and you choose to go to the cashier that's the human being and not the automated one.
I would rather, yes.
You're an interesting person. I can just tell from that. Edward, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, let's grab, we grab one more for the break, and then we'll come back to your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Next up is Keith in Fairhope. Hey, Keith.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for the call.
I just want to put my two cents in real quick.
Yeah.
I was in the casino business for 16 years, and we went complete slot department, went to, you know, there's no cashiers or no cages. That's just the way it is. They never call in sick 24 hours a day. A lot of people look at it in a negative way. If you're a business owner or you're making parts for cars, this stuff never stops. You're not paying vacation. You're not paying insurance. On the flip side of it, there are positives as well. I like interaction, but I can go to any food service, any hotel, anything you want to, and if you tell an employee, you have to tell them thank you, and you get it sends you in the wrong direction.
You're right.
Even if it's at the Dollar Tree, they should be working and saying we should not have to say thank you to them.
Agreed. And you know, we should also make sure, I think, we could do whatever you want, but I make sure to always lead off on the best foot and try to be as absolutely friendly as I can, and I do expect that in return.
Yes, sir.
So
I totally believe in that.
Well, and I don't know, maybe they'll one day, they'll program. I wonder if that's going to be for us from the South, if they will need us to go into their AI and teach the machines pleasantries, you know, that don't exist not as much in other parts of the country, that they come in and say, well, we got some AI people here from the South to teach these computers and these programs how to be a little friendlier.
A lot of people, real quick, I know you're on a limited time, there's a lot of jobs out there that are available that people just don't want to do, no matter where you come from.
Well,
you have to go automated.
Sure. And at that point, I don't think we're just, you know, if people aren't doing those jobs to any great number, then we're not displacing workers there. But there's a whole bunch of people that were, you know, cashiers and as a job, and those jobs are getting fewer and fewer out there.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Coming right back, Keith, appreciate that. Come back to the phones next at 343-0106. And yeah, it's the, what's the term for it? It's like the basic, universal basic income or whatever. You heard it talked about in one of the Democrat debates. And I thought it was interesting because if you do go full automation, how will they get money back in the system for people to buy the stuff that the automation is making?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Dalton, I'm going to keep an eye on it too, but heads on the swivel here. Looking at, notice here, says soon. I hate soon. Soon doesn't work in the radio business. We need specific times. Soon, President Trump is going to address the nation from the Oval Office. He will speak from the Oval Office. So when that comes up, we will go to that. If it's before Paul Feinbaum show starts. So that could be coming up in a minute. Could be coming up, you know. Listen, Washington time. You do this job, and you got to, like, they'll say, such and such starts at 12:30. Okay, let's plan the show around that. And then, you know, 12:45, 1 o'clock, 1:15, whatever, to get around to it. All right, phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. This is Larry and Daphne. He said, I work in the plumbing industry and read an article that said that the trades, being plumbers, electricians, and air conditioning techs, will be some of the last workers to be replaced by automation because there are so many variables and so many different houses, buildings, construction material that's been used throughout the ages. It's practically impossible to develop equipment, robots, and software to analyze and perform the work. So for all you high schoolers out there, take a look at the trades. You get paid $20 plus an hour very rapidly with almost limitless growth. That's good. Thank you for that, Larry. But you got to be thinking about that, right? I mean, I'm telling this stuff to my children. I've got one that loves the idea of programming automation, the other one that not so into it here. Jesse says on the text line, hey, the self-checkout register never looks PO'd because she has to check you out. That's true. So I'm guilty of it. I go there, And it's an impatience thing, I guess. And if there's a, like, I like talking to people and visiting. And, of course, all I'm going to do is be told to fill out this survey highlighted here at the bottom of the receipt, and I could win $500. But I liked interacting with human beings. But if the line is, like, more than two people deep, I'm just, doesn't mean I'm doing the right thing. It means I'm just being honest with y'all. I go do the automated checkout. But I'm not trying to, but in doing that, I'm not going, hey, I want to put Bob or Sally out of work. I'm just going, oh, you know, I can get out of here faster. So, yeah, and back to the question about the taxation thing. Listen, this is just something that I've heard theorized. There's no, there's not any kind of, I hadn't seen any policy in Washington. I think Andrew Yang has talked about it on the Democrat side. I know that there's been a lot of future think folks. I think Elon Musk had talked about it. I think it Bill Gates had talked about it. I'm just probably scraping, just barely scraping the top of this. There's probably a lot more people, and I'm just missing somebody who really gotten into an in-depth discussion of what happens to our economy. Because here's the thing. So people have been talking about the capitalism part, and I'm with y'all. You know, I'm all in for a true free market. I don't, a big fan of crony capitalism, but if we had true free market action, I'm still a strong believer in it. Sorry to those detractors of capitalism. I'm a big fan. I've watched what it's done here in our country, watched what it's done across this planet. When implemented, it's a fantastic tool. Problem is, you get crony capitalism, and I'm a big opponent of the system as it works in a lot of places. But okay, let's get off that high horse for a second. Capitalism could end up being so efficient in this, which I like efficiencies. I'm sitting here in a studio that's run by automation, that it could put itself out of business, individual companies within the capitalistic system. Because if you're driven, to get the cost down, which you should be. If you're running a business, you should watch every cost. Get the cost down, get the cost down, get the cost down. Well, if that involves putting people out of work, eventually, now this is not something that's a year away or even 10 years away, but sometime in the future, could it be there's this tipping point where every company that can has automated everything it does. And there's one or two people where there used to be 200. Well, now there's 198 people that don't have a job. 198 people don't have a job, not paying taxes into the system, and don't have any money like they used to be able to buy things from the company that they, you know, were laid off from. So that is something to think going forward. All right, heads up. We can go to the ready to go. All right, we're going to the live feed here from the Oval Office.
What can you tell us about what you knew prior to ordering the attack?
Well, number one, I knew the past. His past was horrible. He was a terrorist. He was so designated by President Obama, as you know. And he wasn't even supposed to be outside of his own country. He was. So right there. But that's, in a way, the least of it. We had an attack very recently that he was in charge of where we had people horribly wounded, one dead. In fact, the number now, as of this morning, I believe is two dead. And that was his. He was traveling with the head of Hezbollah. They weren't there to discuss a vacation. They weren't there to go to a nice resort someplace in Baghdad. They were there to discuss bad business. And we saved a lot of lives by terminating his life. A lot of lives have saved. They were planning something, and you're going to be hearing about it, or at least various people in Congress are going to be hearing about it tomorrow. Our Secretary of State covered it very well a little while ago. I saw him. I saw his news conference, Mike. And if you want to mention a couple of things in addition to what I've just said, but we had tremendous information. We've been following him for a long time, and we followed his path for those 3 days. And they were not good stops. We didn't like where he was stopping. They were not good stops. We saved a lot of lives. Mike?
We had deep intelligence indicating there was active plotting that put American lives at risk. And I'm confident, I think the president's confident too, that the actions that the president took saved American lives, saved lives of Iraqi Muslims as well. It was the right thing to do, and our Department of Defense did an excellent job executing the mission.
And, Mr. President,
and as you know, he killed at least 600 Native Americans, but the number is much higher than that. He's also very much roadside bombs and all of the horrible explosives that you see. He was a big believer and sent them everywhere. He was somebody that we did ourselves, that we did a lot of countries a big favor. And I've been hearing from countries, they were extremely happy with what we did. And if you look inside Iran itself, there were plenty of those leaders that were happy because they feared him and didn't like him in many cases.
Could you also clear up, Mr. President, whether Iranian cultural sites would be on any future target list?
Well, as I said yesterday, it was very interesting. They're allowed to kill our people. They're allowed to maim our people. They're allowed to blow up everything that we have, and there's nothing that stops them. And we are, according to various laws, supposed to be very careful with their cultural heritage. And you know what? If that's what the law is, I like to obey the law. But think of it. They kill our people. They blow up our people. And then we have to be very gentle with their cultural institutions. But I'm okay with it. It's okay with me. I will say this. If Iran does anything that they shouldn't be doing, they're going to be suffering the consequences, and very strongly.
Steve?
Well, don't forget, in our case, it was retaliation because they were there first. They killed, and look, I don't have to talk about him for 18 to 20 years. He was a monster. But just in the very short period of time, two people dead, people badly injured. And then before that, there were other attacks. And look at what he was planning. So that'll be discussed tomorrow morning. Right now, it's classified. And that'll be discussed tomorrow with Mike Pompeo and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Is this the U.S. prepared for an Iranian attack?
We're prepared. We're totally prepared. And likewise, we're prepared to attack if we have to, as retribution.
Mr. President, if Iran's leader said that any response to the Soleimani killing would be, quote, proportional. What would the United States do in the event of any Iranians?
So, again, John, if you look at what's going on, ours was an attack based on what they did. We weren't the first one out. He killed an American. Now two people are dead from the same attack, and some people very badly wounded. And that was one of his smaller endeavors. You look over his past. His past, he's been called a monster, and he was a monster. And he's no longer a monster. He's dead. And that's a good thing for a lot of countries. And he was planning a very big attack and a very bad attack for us and other people. And we stopped him. And I don't think anybody can complain about it. I don't hear too many people other than politicians who are trying to win the presidency. Those are the ones that are complaining, but I don't hear anybody else complaining.
Mr. Go ahead. You call him a monster, but your friend Erdogan calls him a martyr.
Well, that's everybody to each his own. I mean, I disagree 100%, and I'm sure he does too, but he has a public to take care of, and I guess that's for his own reason, but I'm actually surprised to hear that, but that's okay.
Are you willing to make a deal with Greece regarding F-35, sir?
Say it.
Are you willing to make a deal with Greece regarding F-35?
So Greece and I and my people, and we have a whole group of people, and as you see, they brought a lot of great representatives from Greece that we've been dealing with. We have a tremendous Greek population, over 3 million people, as I understand it. That's fantastic. I really feel I know most of them. I think I know all of them, come to think of it. But it's a great population in the United States. We're going to be meeting. We're going to be talking. We're going to be negotiating. And we're going to be making a lot of deals.
Let me add something to that. Greece is interested, Mr. President, in participating in the F-35 program. As you know, we are already upgrading our assets.
All right. So shifting now to the discussion with the Greek Prime Minister, but got to hear President Trump there react to the strike that took out the general from Iran and what the possible response would be to an Iranian response. Hopefully, there'll be no response, right? But we'll be watching it for you. News breaks on that. We will be passing along the latest. Remember, keep us online as well at fmtalk1065.com. Paul Feinbaum Show is next.